Mic test. There we go. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Okay. Forewarning, this is going to be long and grueling, all right? 1 Chronicles 6. Now the sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The sons of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. And the sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Eleazar became the father of Phinehas, and Phinehas became the father of Abishua. Abishua became the father of Buki, and Buki became the father of Uzi. And Uzi became the father of Zariah, and Zariah became the father of Merioth. Merioth became the father of Amariah, and Amariah became the father of Ahitub. Ahitub became the father of Zadok, and Zadok became the father of Ahimaaz. And Ahimaaz became the father of Azariah, and Azariah became the father of Johanan. And Johanan became the father of Azariah. It is he who served as the priest in the house which Solomon built in Jerusalem. And Azariah became the father of Amariah, and Amariah became the father of Ahitub. Ahitub became the father of Zadok. Zadok became the father of Shalom. And Shalom became the father of Hilkiah. And Hilkiah became the father of Azariah. Azariah became the father of Sariah. Sariah became the father of Jehozadak. And Jehozadak went along when the Lord carried Judah and Jerusalem away into exile by Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi were Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. And these are the names of the sons of Gershom, Libni and Shimei. And the sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The sons of Merari were Mali and Mushi. And the sons, and these are the families of the Levites according to their father's household. Of Gershom, Libni his son, Jahath his son, Zimmah his son, Joah his son, Iddo his son, Zerah his son, Jethariah his son. The sons of Kohath were Abinadab his son, Korah his son, Asher his son, Elkanah his son, Ebiasaph his son, and Asher his son, Tehath his son, Uriel his son, Uzziah his son, and Shaul his son. And the sons of Elkanah were Amasai and Ahimoth. As for Elkanah, the sons of Elkanah were Zophai his son, and Nahath his son, Eliab his son, Jeroham his son, Elkanah his son. And the sons of Samuel were Joel the firstborn, and Abijah the second. The sons of Merari were Mali, Libni his son, Shimei his son, Uzzah his son, Shimei his son, Haggiah his son, Asaiah his son. Now these are those whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark rested there. And they ministered with song before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they serve in their office according to their order. And these are those who serve with their sons. From the sons of the Kohathites were Heman the singer, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel, the son of Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Eliel, the son of Toa, the son of Zuf, the son of Elkanah, the son of Mahath, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joel, the son of Azariah, the son of Zephaniah, the son of Tehath, the son of Asher, the son of Ebiasaph, the son of Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel. And Heman's brother Asaph stood at his right hand, even Asaph, the son of Berechiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Michael, the son of Baasiah, the son of Malchijah, the son of Ethni, the son of Zerah, the son of Adiah, and the son of Ethan, the son of Zimmah, the son of Shimei, the son of Jahath, the son of Gershom, the son of Levi. And on the left hand were their kinsmen, the sons of Merari, Ethan, the son of Kishi, the son of Abdi, the son of Maluk, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Amaziah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Amzi, the son of Bani, the son of Shemur, the son of Mali, the son of Mushi, the son of Merari, the son of Levi. And their kinsmen, the Levites, were appointed for all the service of the tabernacle of the house of God. But Aaron and his sons offered on the altar of burnt offering and on the altar of incense for all the work of the most holy place and to make atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. And these are the sons of Aaron, Eleazar his son, Phinehas his son, Abishua his son, Buki his son, Uzi his son, Zariah his son, Merioth his son, Amariah his son, Ahitub his son, Zadok his son, Ahimaaz his son. Now these are the settlements according to their camps within their borders, to the sons of Aaron and the families of the Kohathites, for theirs was the first lot. To them they gave Hebron in the land of Judah and its pasture lands around it, but the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And to the sons of Aaron they gave the following cities of refuge: Hebron, Libna, also its pasture lands, Jatir, Eshtemoa with its pasture lands, Hillen with its pasture lands, Debir with its pasture lands, Ashan with its pasture lands, and Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands. And from the tribe of Benjamin, Geba with its pasture lands, Alamoth with its pasture lands, and Anathoth with his pasture lands and all their cities throughout their families were 13 cities. And then to the rest of the sons of Kohath were given by lot from the family of the tribe, from the half tribe, the half of Manasseh, 10 cities. And to the sons of Gershom, according to their families, were given from the tribe of Issachar and from the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Manasseh, 13 cities in Bashan. To the sons of Merari were given by lot, according to their families, from the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. So the sons of Israel gave to the Levites the cities with their pasture lands, and they gave by lot from the tribe of the sons of Judah, the tribe of the sons of Simeon, and the tribe of the sons of Benjamin, these cities which were mentioned by name. Now some of the families of the sons of Kohath had cities of their territory from the tribe of Ephraim, and they gave to them the following cities of refuge: Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim with his pasture lands, Gezer also with his pasture lands, Jokmeam with his pasture lands, Beth Horon with his pasture lands, Ajalon with his pasture lands, and Gath Rimmon with his pasture lands, and from the half tribe of Manasseh, Aner with his pasture lands, and Bileam with his pasture lands, from the rest of the family of the sons of Kohath. To the sons of Gershom were given from the family of the half tribe of Manasseh, Golan in Bashan with his pasture lands, and Ashtaroth with his pasture lands, and from the tribe of Issachar, Kadesh with his pasture lands, Dabaroth with his pasture lands, and Ramoth with his pasture lands, Anim with his pasture lands, and from the tribe of Asher, Mashal with his pasture lands, Abdon with his pasture lands, Hukok with his pasture lands, and Rehob with his pasture lands, and from the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh in Galilee with his pasture lands, Hammon with his pasture lands, and Kiriathim with his pasture lands. The rest of the Levites, the sons of Merari, were given from the tribe of Zebulun, Ramono with his pasture lands, Tabor with his pasture lands, and beyond the Jordan, Jericho on the east side of the Jordan were given them from the tribe of Reuben, Bezer in the wilderness with his pasture lands, Jaza with his pasture lands, Kedemoth with his pasture lands, and Mephath with his pasture lands, and the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with his pasture lands, Mahanaim with his pasture lands, Heshbon with his pasture lands, and Jazer with its pasture lands. Amen. Wow, that was long. So this is the tribe of Levi that's laid out here. And remember, if you go back, all the way back from the Exodus, if you remember, according to the Jewish custom, the firstborn son was given to the temple, and so, or given to religious service. So it was very common. The firstborn son of every family was set to attend to the Lord in some form or fashion. Now, if you remember during the Exodus, when they put up the golden calf and they came up and Moses came down and he was furious with the Israelites, and primarily some of that was, you know, these guys, particularly Aaron, that was supposed to take care of this, didn't. And so if you remember, Moses said, who is for God? And the Levites, as a family and a tribe, stood with Moses and actually rendered the justice of God. As a result, there was a transfer that took place. And it went from the firstborn, and it went to this tribe of Levi. And thus, the priesthood of the Levites begin to come into effect during this time. And so, these are their genealogies that are laid out. There's not many surprises. I mean, there's a few things here and there. Probably, I mean, some names that are a little different. I forgot where it was. There's one part where they actually forgot the guy's name, so they just use another name, which just means the second. And so they believe it's some kind of translation error. I'll have to go back and find that for you. And then there's others that, in other passages, their names are missing, but that's, if you consolidate the two, that then it just kind of makes sense in that regard. But you'll see that part of the idea for the Levites, and this is a really good lesson for a lot of people that are in ministry in many ways. Because the Levites, these guys were meant to be totally dedicated to the service of God. And so, if you remember, their first priority was unto the Lord. And so, what they were doing, they were ministering to the people, for sure. That was part of it. But primarily, they were ministering to the Lord. And that was their first thing that they did. their first cause, their first plan, their first everything, their first duty before ministering to people was ministering to the Lord. And so you see some of that where David begins to organize this, particularly with the musicians that now go and worship the Lord, almost 24/7. And this would be really the impetus that is given over to Mike Bickle and IHOP. They draw this from the Tabernacle of David. And you see how David begins to, it was something that was already happening, but now he rightfully administrates it in such a way that it's constantly happening. These are, the harp and bowls and these things that you hear. But it's really important for us to recognize this. And I don't think that this is just for people in full-time ministry or vocational full-time ministry. Remember, the first act of a minister to the Lord, of the Lord, is to minister to the Lord. There's something about our hearts, and we attend to God. We attend to His wants and His needs, which kind of comes alongside the sermon that I gave on Sunday, regarding putting God's interests first before ours when we pray, "Come, Thy kingdom, be done Your will." And you see how this priestly line, if you think about it, they stood with Moses, they stood with God against the injustice. He administrates through them, but more than anything else, he ministers to the Lord. And I can't overemphasize how important that is for every single one of us that are in some type of ministry, be it in a pastoral position, if you're a house church leader or a ministry leader. You have to spend time with God, and it's not a duty or like a responsibility. It's the joy and the overflow of our lives, because we connect with God, we minister to the Lord, and as a result, there's an overflow that happens in our life. Now, a lot of people, what happens is they get really tired doing ministry. Brothers and sisters, you should never get tired doing ministry. I'm serious. You should never be tired, because it's a flow that happens. Holy Spirit anointing flowing in you flows out of you to others, and you minister out of that place. Now, if you're empty, if you've not been filled up, of course you're going to get tired. But there should be something, about us. Now, look, listen, I'm physically tired. Yes, you will get physically tired because we're human beings, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this mental and emotional weariness that many of us go through during these times. And in fact, you should be amped up, after ministry in many ways, because the Holy Spirit just flowed over you. And it's interesting, whenever I come across leaders, and that it's now that almost 15 years of church, no one says this to me anymore. It was really interesting. I think we built such a culture. And so, but back in the days, people used to come up to me and says, "Oh, Pastor Sam, I need to step down from IP, or I need to step down from house church," or something like that. And I would say, "Why?" And then, they give some reasons. And then I would typically say, "Well, you're talking to the wrong guy, because I didn't really ask you to do this. Remember, God asked you to do this, so you need to talk to God." And then my next question I would ask them is, "Are you spending time with God? Are you being filled by Him on a daily basis?" And then they'll say, "Well, actually, yeah, I've been so busy, blah, blah, blah." So I said, "Hey, this is what you should do. You should go back and talk to God, because He's the one who asked you to be a house church leader, not me. I was just the conduit by which that word came from." And then go spend some time with God and see what He says. And in almost 15 years of ministry, I can count on my hand maybe one or two people that still said, "I'm going to step down." And I personally think they were major disobedience, but that's a whole other, another thing, another time. And it's amazing. It's that simply that part of just ministering to the Lord, and then everything flows from that space. It's powerful when you think about it. It's all the principles that we see in the Bible. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be given to you as well. Another translation would be added to you as well. There's something about making first things first. And we first minister to the Lord. And then everything flows from that place. Now, you'll also notice, which gets to the next part, is that even though the Levites, because when you're ministering to the Lord, there should be no attachment to the world in this regard. And so the Levites were not given any land. They were not had a portion given by the Lord that, you know, that was spread out. But interesting enough that the people, and you can see how this works, the people allotted land specifically, every tribe allotted land for the Levites. And then some of the land, they were called these cities of refuge. And you could see that there's another great principle for us in dealing with ministry, that when we're ministering to the Lord and we're ministering to people, that we should not have any attachments to the world. The way I look at that is that we should not be worldly. We should not be giving worldly advice, you know, to people. I remember I was talking to this young woman, and you know, kind of newer to our church, and she was you know, talking to some ladies at church. I never found out who they were, even though I probed her quite a bit. She refused to, I guess, tattle on them, you know. But, you know, snitches get stitches, right? So she decided not to say anything. But she came to me and she said, "Oh, I'm so confused, Pastor Sam." You know, and, you know, of course she wanted a husband and stuff. And so these apparently SP women, I still don't believe it, but these SP women were giving her dating tips. And they were so horrible. I mean, they were so horrible. I couldn't believe it. And the dating tips were, well, you need to go out. You need to go out to the club, you know, and never buy a drink for yourself. You should always have the guys buy you drinks and this and that. I was like, "You're kidding me. Are you talking about these are really SP girls?" Now you know why I was probing her for so long. I was like, "Who are these knuckleheads, you know, that are giving this advice?" But, it, you know, but that's very common advice in the world. You know, there's so many things that we get, these seemingly wise things in the world that just make absolutely no sense whatsoever and come so contrary to the things of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so in that way, when we are ministering to the Lord and ministering to others, that we have no attachment to the world whatsoever, that we become in the Spirit in many ways and not of the flesh, and really speak and minister God's word and God's truth. That's all we want. You know, when I'm giving advice to people, I mean, I just want to quote the scriptures. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that it's so biblically centric, because the word never fails. The word, when it's released, it never returns back void. It always accomplishes the purpose that God set it out for. And so that's the best advice. Not what I think, but what God thinks and God, what God says through the scriptures in that regard. And so he has these guys have no attachment in the world. And then you would think, wow, if there's no attachment, you know, how are we going to live? And then God makes a provision through the sons of Israel, that every single one apportions his part and then gives to the ministers that minister to the Lord and ministers to the people. And that's basically the structure that you have in every church, you know, that everyone gives a little part of how God has blessed them in their life, you know, and that little part, I mean, not only pays for the rent and all that stuff, but pays for the livelihood of the people that are serving. And you can see, you know, how wise this is. I remember a mentor of mine, and I was really, you know, stick close to this. You know, this is a long time ago. He was recruiting me to work with the Billy Graham Association. It is years ago. And, you know, they flew me out to Colorado. You know, I went skiing with him. And he was Billy Graham's right-hand man, you know, Tom Phillips. And Tom, you know, we're driving from the ski resort. And I was just talking to him like, "Hey, dude, do you invest in stocks?" You know, I mean, you know, just kind of talking. And he's like, you know, "How do you do all these things?" And he just looked at me and says, "You know what? I'm just, I'm paraphrasing now, but just simply like, I'm just about the Father's business. You know, all I want to do is I want to win souls." And so I don't get myself caught up in any of that other stuff. And I always think back to that, you know, and there's so many times, I mean, honestly, you know, if you, you know, my dad mentioned, you know, on Sunday night at the dinner that originally, you know, I wanted to be a businessman. And, you know, and I, before I became a Christian, I ran some businesses and things like that. And it, every once in a while, I get the little itch to do something. I'm just being honest, right? I hear something, I get the little itch. Oh, maybe I should, you know, like maybe go part-time, you know, pastor, and then, you know, go be, you know, start a business. Because I still have very much an entrepreneurial spirit. But Tom's words always come back, you know, no, I want to be about the Father's business. And so I let go of whatever my flesh, you know, wants to do. And I just focus, you know, again, what God has me to do. And because if I really look back, the reason why I want to do those things is not really for my ego. You know, I mean, part of it's there, but a lot of it is because I think about my family, you know, and I think, oh, you know, I could provide better for my family or something like this. But that just comes out of my fears. You know what I mean? That just comes out of my fear, like, oh, God, you're not really going to provide for me or my family, so I need to do X, Y, Z. And that's fear. You know, I don't want to live by fear. You know, I mean, what's the worst thing your senior pastor can do is live his life by fear. And, you know, you can be strong in the pulpit and do this, but privately have these fears about God's provision. That's messed up, man. You know, that's something that we have to overcome. And we go back to how God took care of his priests. He took care of them so well, right? They ministered to the Lord, right? You know, he gave them no attachments, and yet God still provided for them, you know, through the people of God. And it's this beautiful story of the ministers of the Lord. And I hope that becomes the beautiful story of the ministers of Solomon's Porch, you know, well, you know, after I die. And you know, the church continues to grow in that way. So let's close our eyes. And a lot of little nuggets. Didn't even know they were there. You know, God is so good. You know, when I go through this genealogy, there's a little fear every day. Lord, am I going to have anything to share? Because this is really dense. It's just a bunch of names I can't pronounce. But God is so good. He gives us daily bread, and he speaks to us. And so let's go back to what I said in the beginning. Man, are we ministering to the Lord first and foremost? Most of us sitting in this room are leaders in some way. And as part of your leadership, or I should say the foundation of your leadership, is it ministering to Jesus? I love the story of Jesus after he fasts, and the angels come to him, and the Bible says, and they minister to him. Angels are the full-time occupation of heaven. You want to practice heaven on earth? Minister to the Lord. Worship him. Lift him up. Share our hearts with him. Pray to him. Read his words, the scriptures. And I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, your ministry will be powerful, because there will be an overflow of life and love. And so how appropriate right now, let's minister to the Lord right now as we sing.
This is my daily bread.
Let's continue to hallow His name. Let's lift Him up right now. Let's thank Him for His care, His love for us. Let's thank Him that even though He is God and so magnificent and mighty, He allows us to minister to Him. He allows us to attend to Him. How incredible is that? The great King of Kings and Lord of Lords allows little us to speak to Him. It's amazing. Well, let's just give Him thanks right now. Let's hallow His name. Let's pray over our community that's battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Particularly pray for Calvin. His scan is coming up pretty soon. I think it's this week. And his next round of chemo. And he's only got a few more, I think two more left. And so let's pray for God's healing to continue in his life. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for healing and let's pray for that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community. They're battling non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray over our government. Let's pray for Carrie Lam and the other leaders. Pray that they would rule righteously. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap. Pray for a revival. You know, I was just reminded this morning as I was praying that God is not a stingy God. You know, we're not crying out for a revival from a God that doesn't want to give it. We're crying out for a God that wants to release His purposes and release revival in this world. And so let's pray with faith in that regard. Let's lift up the churches. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for SSI and Shanty and Master's Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church. Let's continue to pray for the Hong Kong students and the domestic helpers. Let's lift up this incredible city that we live in. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God's hand upon us as we continue to serve the Lord with all of our hearts. And just like we shared earlier, that our first priority would not just be our work, but our first priority would be to minister to the Lord. Let everything flow from that space. Pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista. Let's pray that that the Lord would just fill them with His presence, and the joy of the Lord is where they welcome our people and welcome new guests, that people would receive the love of Jesus when they walk in this place through these ministries. Pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. And let's pray for our leaders and volunteers that they would really, really lead us into the presence of the Lord. That they're, again, their foremost would be to minister and worship to the Lord before they worship and lead us in that place. And so let's just lift them up. Let's pray for house church tonight. First, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, Soho, Westville. Let's pray for our leaders and our people to come together to really pray God's purposes and really seek His face together. Let's pray for our Manila team that left yesterday. Let's pray for God's anointing pray for strength as they minister. Pray for power and anointing as they meet with people, and just release the power of God over their lives. Lord, we bless you, God. Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for today, Lord. And help us, God, every morning, God, every day, to start the day, God, lifting you up, Lord. Lord, let it be about you before it's about us, Lord. Teach us, God, how to align ourselves rightly with you, first and foremost. We just want to continue to worship you throughout this day, to honor you, to love you, Lord. So continue to come and have your way with us. Send us the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. Oh, we thank you. We love you, God. We bless you. Let's close in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come thy kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. Well, we'll see you guys tomorrow.